My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. Glad that you've joined us this morning. I have to say this because I wrote it, and it helps the people who are guests. If you're guests with us today, thank you so much for coming. I haven't said this in a while. We have an information desk over there. We'd love to give you a bag. There's a gift in there, but most importantly, there's information about us, and we'd like to get information about you. Not because we can spam you, but because we want to pray for you. And you can call us, and we can call you back, and we can check on you and see how you're doing and see if you have any questions. Hallelujah. We got a new series, church. It's titled Pain to Purpose. Pain to Purpose. What if that thing that broke you isn't where your story ends? What if that thing instead is where God begins something brand new? This Pain to Purpose series, which is the entire month of August, there'll be five Sundays that we're going to be speaking on this, unless the Holy Spirit wants to do something else. Pain to Purpose series inspired by Davey Blackburn and the Nothing is Wasted movement. Whether your pain is fresh or it's buried deep, this is a journey of healing, redemption, and discovery of how God can take even your most painful moments and weave them together into a purpose bigger than you have imagined. This sermon series invites you to stop asking, why did this happen? And start asking, what is God doing with it? Church, come as you are. Bring your questions. Bring your pain. There's a place for your story here. Because with Jesus, church, nothing is wasted. If you want to follow along in your notes today, you can open up your YouVersion Bible app. Go ahead and get there. Go in the bottom right corner. I love what a couple weeks ago, this Prego lady, she said they're like pancakes. And then she licked her lips. No, she didn't really. But in my mind, I was like, of course the pregnant lady saw them as pancakes. Anyway, but I was like, that makes sense. I love that. I love that way more than little stacks or whatever. And so, yeah, go to the little pancakes on the bottom, to more, and then click on events. And then go to First Open Bible Church and click save. Once you click save, you can put your notes in there if you want, or you can have your own notes. Amen. So one winter a few years ago, I was trying to wrestle my toddler into a full body suit. You know, the big zipper and the layers and the of clothing and the boots, the hat, the mittens, and he looked like a marshmallow that went to boot camp. He squirmed, he fussed, and he whined. He the whole time, putting one more thing on and one more thing on. And he's just, you remember that movie?
Yes.
Okay. Hallelujah. And he fussed and he whined and he said, this is too much, Daddy. Please stop putting more on me. You know what? He was right. It was more than he could handle, but it was good for him. It was for his protection and ultimately for his preparation to step into an environment he currently wasn't ready for. If I'd sent him out there in his pajamas, someone would have said, called child services and said, you're a terrible father. And his jammies with the white demon everywhere. Yet, when God allows weight on our lives, we often cry, this is too much. God, I can't handle anymore. And then we accuse God of being a bad father. Here's the lie that you may have heard and a lie that some of you actually still believe. God will never give you more than you can handle. Let me tell you right now, that's not in your Bible. That's a cute saying that is not only unbiblical, it's doctrinally incorrect. If you have a shirt or a bumper sticker, throw it in the garbage. Burn it. Do whatever you got to do. Unless you just want to tell the whole world a bunch of junk that isn't even in the Bible, I mean, go ahead. But that's not true. That's not biblically sound. The truth is this. At times, God does give you more than you can handle. You ever been there? But in Christ, you can overcome. Do not lose hope. Instead, get the right perspective. It's not just certain people who get overwhelmed in life. It's all people. Times like in life, we can feel overwhelmed. We can have heartbreak. It can be so painful. And it can truly be more than we can handle. Even David, the man after God's own heart, David wrote in the book of Psalms. Psalms is a book of a bunch of music. And he wrote about his deep distress. He also wrote about his divine restoration. And that's the human experience, living in the tension of both. Here's some of the stuff he wrote. David wrote in Psalm 120, here's the first two verses. It says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from the liars and from all deceitful people. And then verses 6 and 7, it says, I'm tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. And then 6 chapters later, David sees divine restoration and he speaks to it. Verses 1 through 26, or I'm sorry, 1 through 6 in Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What a joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. And I love this. Those who plant in tears will harvest the shouts of joy. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They will weep as they go to plant their seeds, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Listen, it's hard in life sometimes, but if you plant with the Lord, you will reap a harvest in due time. Do not give up. Have hope. If you need to cry your eyes out as you are planting seeds for the Lord, then do it, because guess what? When you return, you will have shouts of joy. The harvest is there. It has come. What do we learn from David when he's writing these things in the book of Psalms? We learn that distress and joy, loss and restoration are part of the same journey. Part of our story, part of our life, part of our journey. So in 1 Samuel chapter 30, that's in the Old Testament, I want to encourage everybody to read 1 Samuel chapter 30 this week. It's an awesome story. I'm going to highlight a lot of it. I'm going to talk a little bit to it. I'm going to tell you about the story, but I really want you to dig deep for yourself. 1 Samuel 30 says this. It says, we're seeing in this time of David's life, and it's a very dark time, and it has dark moments. David and his mighty men, his mighty warriors, they return to their camp. They've been out fighting and advancing and obeying God. And when they return, it's absolutely devastating. And this is what it says, which I think it's already up there. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. So David and his men, they returned from Ziklag after being away fighting the enemies of Israel, only to find their camp was burned to the ground by the Amalekites. Their wives, their children, all their belongings were taken. Total destruction. The grief was so intense that even David's loyal men began to talk about stoning him. But instead of breaking under the pressure, David strengthens himself in the Lord. He seeks God's guidance in what to do about this great pain. God then tells David to pursue the enemy, and God promises the victory. So David sets out with 600 men, except 200 of those men were so exhausted from all the other fights that they stayed behind. With the remaining 400, he finds an Egyptian servant left behind by the Amalekites who leads them to the raiders. David and his men launch a surprise attack and completely defeat the Amalekites and recover everything. Nothing and no one was lost. 1 Samuel 30, verse 19 says this, "Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter. No one, nothing else had been taken." David brought everything back. Then David shares the spoils evenly and equally, even with the 200 men who stayed behind because of their exhaustion. This showed David's great leadership, his mercy, and godly unity. I just feel this from the Lord. Sometimes we have a hard time extending grace when we've received so much ourselves. Someone who you have not forgiven for so long, or some situation you haven't forgiven, and you think you're holding them hostage, you are dying inside. Give them grace that you have received yourself. These 200 men didn't deserve anything, but David understood godly unity. He understood mercy, and he had great leadership. He gave it all back. Can you imagine this, though? Your camp is burned to the ground. Your home is completely gone. Everyone's wife and children are gone. Your home and everything you know was destroyed. It was so devastating that the Bible says that these strong, incredible warriors, these guys have defeated over and over and over again the enemies of God, over and over. And it says these incredible warriors, they wept until they could weep no more. Have you ever been there? Are you there now? Do you know someone else who is? Have you ever noticed that when you mobilize and to do something great for God or try to advance against the enemy, there seems to be a great resistance? Or maybe, like David, you feel like something has been stolen from you. A relationship, a hope, a dream, a job, an opportunity, your dignity, your peace, something. Church, the thief only comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He may not be able to steal your salvation, but he wants to neutralize your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. The enemy wants your pain and your destruction and your devastation to paralyze you. Maybe you're overwhelmed by the outcome of something that's in your life. Is anybody there right now? You're feeling overwhelmed. Anyone, raise your hand. Truth. Anybody feeling overwhelmed? I got a word for you. Raise your hand in the air like you care. Hey. Okay. See how I changed it? No, we do care. Not that we don't care. Raise your hand in the air like you don't care. Well, that didn't even make sense. Dumb song. I wave my hand in the air because it does. I do care. That's why it matters to me. Anyway. I want to tell you this. In Christ, you can overcome the outcome. You can overcome the outcome. There might not be an answer for your pain, but there is a purpose if you give it to Jesus. When we experience pain or grief or trauma, it's important not to misappropriate your pain. Hear me now, church. The first step to finding healing is to understand which perpetrator to blame for your pain. Blaming the wrong person or the wrong thing could lead to years of bondage. Also, not dealing with your pain properly will destroy your life for years to come. When life deals you great pain, God wants you to take back your story. I want to talk about three quick things that we see in David's story about how he took back his story. Number one is this. Properly recognize resistance. Properly recognize resistance. When faced with great pain, to take back your story, it starts with resistance. Whenever you advance, the enemy retaliates. So I want to tell you something. If you're not feeling any kind of resistance in your life, you're not advancing. Man, too many people want the American dream. You're welcome. Too many people want the American dream instead of they want God's purposes and plans for their life. I don't want resistance. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. You don't think the cross hurt? You don't think the sacrifice of the people in all of the gospels and everybody in the Old Testament, New Testament that were used for God, you think it was cake? You think they were naming and claiming it? When you are advancing for the kingdom of God, there will be resistance. Now, I got encouraging words here. I like math. So it says in God's word that 1/3 of the angels fell with the devil. That's 33%. That means 66% is still on our side. But 33%, if you have less people on your side, then you need to be strategic in who you fight so you think you can win. That's why David, he only had 400 and he did a sneak attack and he destroyed them all. If you're advancing for the kingdom of God, the enemy is going to come at your doorstep. But if you're not advancing for the kingdom of God, he's not going to, because he needs to spend his time on people who are being effective for the kingdom of God. So let me tell you why that's important. David spent 16 months, not weeks, not days, not hours, months, 16 months as a secret operative behind enemy lines, raiding and killing the enemies of God. If you're encroaching on the enemy's territory, he will retaliate. If you're praying and you're fasting more, you could experience more discouragement. If you step out in obedience, here comes an attack on your family or your finances. Are you reaching people for Jesus? Here comes a wave of fear and fatigue. This is not a coincidence. This is called spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Here's the key. This is it. This is what I want you to hear. Here's the key. Don't misinterpret the battle. What you think is condemnation from the Lord might be confirmation. The battle that you're facing and the things that you're going through right now, it might be confirmation, not condemnation. See, many wonder, why didn't God prevent the attack? Why didn't God take the pain? Why didn't God take the damage? Why didn't he protect us? Why didn't God stop the Amalekites from raiding David's camp when he was out there serving what he called him to do? It's because God doesn't always intervene to prevent. God intervenes to produce. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us this. For our present troubles, when you really look at them with a kingdom mind, they're small and they won't last very long. Yet what they produce for us is glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. When we get to step into the crucifixion pain of Jesus and we get to face the battles that we face because we're going after the kingdom of God, those things remind us of the glory of God and his resurrection power. Those things that we walk through that are so painful and so hurtful, we're reminded of what Jesus paid. And when we do that, we draw closer to him. We understand his pain a little bit more. We can love a little bit deeper. We can take our empathy and we can turn it to compassion. We can go a little bit deeper in the things of God. We can, because we're understanding more of God. Newton's third law says this: for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. Sometimes the reaction is not always equal to the initial action, right? Any weapon formed against me shall not prosper. Whew. Let's not forget the words of Joseph. What the enemy meant for evil, God used it for good. Just because the enemy comes against you doesn't mean that you resist the same amount. We are more than conquerors. We push past that and more. What you steal from me, I'm going to get it back and more. It's not the same action and reaction. That might work down here in the physical, but the supernatural is different. Tim Keller said it this way, a different spin on it. God allows evil enough space that it ultimately terminates itself. A kingdom divided cannot stand. Okay, let's go to number two. When pain comes, recognize resistance. That's number one. Here's the next one. Then respond righteously. There's a difference between reaction and response. Raise your hand if you're married or have ever been married. There's a big difference between responding and a reaction. Been in the doghouse before. Hey. Y'all laughing because you know what I'm saying. You've been there. Amen. See, this is this. Your reaction is immediate, but your response should be filtered, thought out, and intentional. I love what King David does. I love what he does in 1 Samuel 36. He says, David was now in great danger because all his men were bitter about losing their sons and their daughters, and they began to talk about stoning him. You know what? Leadership sometimes is very hard. People come against you if you're going to stand for the kingdom. But I love this. Even his closest wanted to stone him. But what does David do? He does not react, he responds. It says, but David found strength in the Lord, his God. Whew, that's powerful. David's mighty men started talking about stoning him. These were his mighty warriors. These guys signed up for this. You knew the risk. You're willing to give your life for this, but now they've turned on him. Why is that? Because when people don't know what to do with their pain, they find someone to blame. You can't move forward if you're stuck blaming other people. I'm gonna let that simmer. Here's a fact though. People need a place to put their pain. And if you don't put your pain in the proper place, you start blaming others. You start to react instead of responding righteously. The Holy Spirit, he empowers us to not just survive, but to respond in victory. You may steal my stuff, but you cannot steal my salvation. You may take my comfort from me, but you can't take my calling. You may give me pain, so much discomfort that I can't handle anymore, but you can't take my praise. I love this. So what does David do when he's faced with this painful resistance, this hurt where his enemies and even his friends and everybody's coming against him and everything's lost and all of his things and have been gone and he's in this distress, he's in this pain. What does he do? First thing is this, David laments. It says he wept until he couldn't weep anymore. Man, I need you to hear that. Real men do cry. Not about everything. That's just a big baby. Get it together. Right? I ain't going to lie, though. There's some movies I watch, and I'm just like, my wife's not even crying. I'm like, it's so good. You good over there? Oh, yeah, okay. I'm going to go get a snack. Yeah, I got to get out of here. Man, it feels like the deeper that I go with Jesus, the more things hit me harder. Like, sometimes it's hard to watch things. Even if it's not real, because I go, but that's real for somebody. Yes. And it just breaks my heart for them. I'm like, oh man, I wish I knew them. I want to tell them something better. So what does David do? First move is this, he laments. He weeps until he couldn't weep anymore. This is David. He killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. He fought Goliath when a ton of other men who, too tough to cry, you know, I'm gonna stand out here 40 days like a big old weenie, I mean, psh, what are they talking about? You go. I mean, after a week, you might think, hey, something's going on here. You guys might as well just give up. I mean, what are you doing out there for 40 days? Anyway, but like something rose up in him that's the Spirit of the living God, and he stepped in. This is David here we're talking about. The man that can pretty much defeat anybody because the Lord is on his side, but he also played a harp, and he sang, and he danced, and he worshiped, and he cried. David lamented, first thing. He didn't bury the pain, he embraced it, and then he responded to it. Church, you can't heal what you don't feel. Sometimes the only way out of pain is to go through the pain. A buried feeling never dies. It just festers and it grows. And you know what else it does? It entangles the other roots of your life. Those roots get around other roots that cause bad fruits. That's good. I don't know if anybody else liked that. I liked that. That was from the Holy Ghost. That was really good. I was like, oh, that's good. Praise God. A buried feeling never dies. David didn't deny his feelings. Instead, he put his emotions in submission to his devotion toward God. He found healing first in lamenting. What's the second thing that David did after this resistance and pain came? David worshiped. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7 says, bring me the ephod. Bring it to me. The ephod was a garment of praise, a priestly garment. And that garment was representing intercession and worship. David said, I've cried, I've grieved, and now I'm going to praise. If your praise is only contingent on what God does for you, right? It's always about what he does for you. It's about how you feel or what you've received from him. You're going to be left empty many times in life. You're going to have the roller coaster of emotions just like the world does. But if your praise is contingent on who God is, you will always be fulfilled. Praise is in the midst of pain. When you do that, when you praise in the midst of pain, it changes your perspective. And praise is not the absence of pain. Sometimes praise is in the defiance of the pain. So put on the garment of praise. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new self. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God. In the supernatural, you have to be very careful you have to be very conscious of what you put on. See, when pain comes, everyone wants to put on depression or anger or control or blame or brokenness or despair. How about this? Try putting on the garment of praise. How about this time? Respond righteously. Amen. I love what the garment of praise is. It's for every hilltop and every valley low. It's for every tragic moment and every triumphant moment. Praise should never be determined on how you feel or what God has given you. It should be about who God is and how wonderful he is. Here's the third thing, third and final. So when you're faced with devastation or great pain, you start understanding that resistance isn't always condemnation. Sometimes it is confirmation. And when resistance comes in our life and we have life experiences and we have great pain, we should respond righteously. We should start with lamenting. Don't bury the pain, embrace it. And then we should put on the garment of praise as we seek the Lord's guidance in what to do next. And if you do all those things just like David did, this is what the Bible promises. This is what God promises. He promises restoration. If we do these things like David, God promises restoration. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8 says, David asked, shall I pursue them? And God responds, pursue them. You will surely recover everything. Maybe that's your word today. Somebody needs to hold on to this word. This is your word. Pursue and you will recover. Pursue and you will recover. Don't give up in the middle. Don't give up in the beginning. Don't blame. Don't fall apart. Don't do that. pursue, and you will recover. What will you recover? Your peace, your dignity, your calling. It can all be restored in God. You won't just get back what you lost, you're going to get more. I love that. More than a conqueror. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about this. What is more than a conqueror? I pray that the Holy Spirit revealed this to my mind. More than a conqueror. Well, a conqueror is somebody who walked in the battle and won the battle. But more than a conqueror is someone who won the battle before they even got in the battle. I'm more than a conqueror. See, with Jesus, if you walk in with the right perspective, you're going to win before you even walk in the battle. But you're going to have to walk through the battle. But you're more than a conqueror in the beginning. That's good. I love that. And I love what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. When I first got saved, what I used to read is, I used to read one Proverbs every day, and then I'd read something in the New Testament at first when I was trying to get my bearings on who is Jesus and what does he want for my life and who is God and how does he intervene and all these things. And I always read the Proverbs of the day. Like today is the third, yeah? Is that right? I don't know, my clock is right there. Okay, thank you. Failed me, man. You're supposed to help me out. The third, okay. So I'd read Proverbs chapter 3. And I love that. There's so much wisdom. You know what's in the book of Proverbs? It says that when the thief is caught, he doesn't return just what he's stolen. He's supposed to return sevenfold, seven times what has been stolen. So when the enemy is caught in your life, you call it out and you stand on being more than a conqueror. It's not like David. You're going to even get more. You don't only go to the enemy's camp and slay all those things and walk through the process and get everything back that was stolen from you, but you get more. You might even get sevenfold. Hallelujah. Does anybody want to know God as a restorer? Raise your hand in the air like you care. I want to know God as a restorer. You know what that means? You're going to have to experience loss. Does anybody want to know God as healer? Half of y'all don't want to raise your hand now. Yeah, I think so, Pastor. If you want to know God as healer, that means you have to walk through pain. So I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do with all this weight that you're carrying today? What are you going to do with it? Brent and Nikki, will you please come up? I want to ask you to be honest today. We live in a day and age that the lost, even the found, they want something real. You know, there's a great movement going on in the younger generation, and you know why that is? Because they've tried everything already, unfortunately, and they realize it doesn't fulfill them, and it's not real. It doesn't fulfill them. It's great for a moment. The Bible says sin's great for a moment, but it does not satisfy. It doesn't lead to purpose. It doesn't lead to understanding. They're searching for the real. And you know what? Church, I want you to be honest this morning. We're believers in here, and there's going to be people that are coming in. They're going to need an honest and real church. People that are vulnerable and real before the Lord. Not falling apart, but maybe lamenting. Not responding, but reacting, right? I'm sorry, not reacting, but responding to what God, yeah, that's the church down the street. Let them do that. You guys do that over there. Amen. They need you to be honest and real, so I want you to start right now, okay? Are you with me? I promise you I will too. I've already done it. It's the second service. I've already done it once. Won't do it again. I'm going to ask you a question. We're getting real close to closing. Does anybody in the house feel overwhelmed? Situation? in life in general, in faith, in body, in mind, in soul. I want you to know this. That's okay, and that's real. But I want to say something to you today. If you're going to hear anything, it's this. That thing that is overwhelming you, it may be more than you can handle, but God says it's not more than I can heal. It might be more than you can handle, but it's not more than God can heal. I think you need to hear that again. It might be more than you can handle, and guess what? It probably is. But it's not more than God can heal. Just like David at Ziklag, it's time to stop running. It's time to stop blaming. It's time to stop pretending like it doesn't hurt or that you have all the answers. It's time to start fighting back in faith. You need to lament what has been lost. You need to put on the ephod, put on praise. Strengthen yourself in the Lord and pursue what has been stolen so you can recover it all. I got to talk to you now. Don't retreat. Don't blame. Step into the restoration process. Step into what worked for David. It still works for today. You know that thing that's trying to break you isn't where your story ends. That thing instead is where God wants to rebuild you. To build something brand new, and you need to let it start today. Today, in this moment, at this time, at this hour, this opportunity. God is not asking you to have it all figured out. You got to get that out of your head. Also, people that say, hey, I can't go into church. I'll probably melt or catch fire or lightning will strike. It's like, dude, if that would have happened, it already happened. It doesn't take church to do that. Guess what? It hasn't happened. So go to church. Nobody gets in the shower who's already clean. Come into the house of God. Trade your rags of filth for rags of righteousness. Trade your broken, beaten, horrible life and relationships and trade it for someone who will never leave you or forsake you, will never harm you, twist you, manipulate you, treat you bad, speak to you the way they shouldn't speak to you, speak lies, speak word curses. Jesus speaks life. He is not only speaking life, he is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. So you don't have to have it all figured out. Nobody in here does, especially the back row. My wife's in the back row. I gotta be careful. I love you, baby. I'm just playing. You don't have to have it all figured out. But this is what you need to do. You just need to come to him. You just need to come to him. You just need to come to him. He's just asking you to come. Come as you are. Bring your questions. Bring your pain. Bring the struggles. Because there's healing here. There's hope here. There's restoration here. There's still purpose in your pain. And with Jesus, nothing is wasted. Nothing. Will you stand, please? Prayer teams, get in your battle stations. Hallelujah. I got three more things to say to you. And God is going to do a work if you let him, if you participate. Or you can run off to whatever appointment you want to run off to that will be not even close to as effective in your life than this. Life is just choices. I think it's about time to choose Jesus. Choose health. Choose freedom. Choose deliverance. Choose something new. Choose Him. So these prayer teams are going to be here in the front. This altar is going to be open here in a moment. I'm going to say a couple more things. I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move. And I just want you to spend time with Him. Because this is your moment. Church, this is your Ziklag right here. It's time to take back your story. Take back your story. In the house. You know what I rebuke right now? I just feel it. I rebuke shame. By the power and blood of Jesus, I rebuke shame right now. Shame be gone in the name of Jesus. It don't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what you're feeling. You shut the enemy's mouth right now. Shame be gone. I will be healed. I'll be set free. It was not my fault. I might have participated, but it's not my fault. Break it now in my life. I don't want to be chained in there anymore. Shame be gone. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, move, 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 move. Do what you want to do, only what you can do. Do it right now. Move, move upon the people, moving in and through lives, moving in and through stories, in and through a journey, in and through the things that they've faced and the things they've gone to. And I ask that right now, as they spend time at the altar to get altered, that they will be altered as they leave. They will be more free than ever before. Open up their hearts to receive the truth today. And we right now speak to anything that is bound. Be freed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be broken in the name of Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy to be praised. Worthy is the Lamb. His blood was enough. His blood was still enough. Every hurt, every pain, every struggle, every trauma, everything. It's more than enough. Come now. That's all Jesus wants. He wants you to just come to Him. He'll work it out. He'll work it out.